if you would, get your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, then, if you would, please. Chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians. As we read this, what little bit we, more we get to see, we need to see a whole lot more. We find what a very, very carnal, that is fleshly, bunch of Christians that they were. I guess the most carnal Christians that were recorded in the New Testament were the church at Corinth in Greece. You know, if you read through that, you'll find out they had all kind of problems. And we're going to get into some of them, the Lord willing, God being our helper. And I believe this chapter 4 is a continuation of chapters, the first few chapters when Paul was admonishing and speaking, rebuking them about their thoughts, their ways, and puffed up in vain conversation, strife, and division, and uplifting men instead of the Lord Jesus. So he was speaking to them about this in the way of judgment, and we'll talk about that, God being a helper. But if you have to look, if you would, please, you can look back in chapter number 3. You see, again, in chapter number 1 is the very last verse, verse 31, he says, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, they were glorying in men and puffed up by vain conversation among themselves. They were carnal, yet they were saved. And even when you get a little bit further over, you find out some of them said that there was no resurrection of the dead. Now, that's an awful thought for one to have, that means that they didn't believe that Jesus resurrected from the dead. So some of those evidently, if they believed that, he said, so some of them did, that they weren't saved. But anyhow, he said, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Our preaching is vain. You're still in your sins. So he settled that with them, and then he preached about bodily resurrection, about transformation, the change of the types of bodies that we have, give illustration of the bodies that we see now in this life, and then, of course, the glorified bodies, terrestrial, celestial, different types of earthly bodies, heavenly bodies, and of course, different types of flesh. He was explaining that to them, and I'm glad that he did, because it gives us a better understanding about what it'd be like when we have our change to come. But in here, there's a lot of things. Rebuke them in chapter number 11, chapter 12, about their gifts that God gave them, all types of misuse, abuse of the gifts that God then gave them. Chapter 11, he talked about, of course, the long hair on the man being shameful and on the woman being a glory. He talked about them taking the Lord's Supper unworthily, just coming there just to eat, drink, and be merry, not remembering what it was all about. Commemorating, of course, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the blood that he shed, the life he gave at Calvary for the sin. So he admonished them and told them there, some of them was already asleep or dead because of that. Some of you see, said sickly among you, some's already asleep. So we find a lot of Cajuns, they had a lot of problems. You read on through the other chapters as well, if you will, when you study over in there, you see that there was brother going with brother before the unbelievers, the law. He said, y'all to settle that among yourselves. That's disgraceful. That's in chapter 6, chapter 5. He talks about, in this particular chapter, about fornication and about some things transpired that took place with one who was evidently thought himself to be somewhat in the church, trying to have a preeminence. And the people there didn't rebuke him, but they suffered him to be so and to carry on. So Paul told the church there, you deliver such a one as Satan, destructing his flesh, and his spirit might be saved into the Lord Jesus. That was a saved man. And he had his stepmother, no doubt, to become his wife, maybe when his dad passed on. I don't know the circumstance. He didn't go into detail, but he had his father's wife. He said, that's not to be. That's shameful. And so he told him what needed to be done on occasion. Other places in here, too, when you read through this, you'll have to look and see. He's constantly getting on them and rebuking them about certain things. Then we have, of course, in seven, chapter number 7, we have concerning marriage, and we have those that are virgins. And different things, circumcision, of course, those that weren't circumcised, and many things that are spoken to them about in these particular scriptures, and things all for the idol of chapter 9, and all the other bits further over, we told you about some other things too. We'll get into that, God being a helper, the Lord will. I have, as I said, very little understanding. I've got to see a little bit of overall view. And before you can even get down to get into somewhat a little bit of the detail, you've got to have an outlook or an understanding concerning the whole picture as a whole before you can be able to understand what it says. So I say this chapter number 4, is a continuation of chapters 1, 2, and 3. If you're looking there, it's a continuation. It's the same subject matter. So when he's talking about them not judging them, what they were doing was esteeming them to be above what they were. And that's just common men, just ordinary men, but yet chosen men of God. And so they were judging them on that plateau, and Paul talked about in verse number 1, chapter 4. He's got a continuation in chapter number 3. He told them that let nobody glory, of course, in men, all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos, that's in chapter 3, or Cephas, or the world, alive or dead, the things present, things to come, all are yours. Don't be glorying in men. And you're a Christ, and Christ is God. He said, I want you to think about us. Here's what we are. Let a man so count of us as the ministers of Christ. We're nothing special, that's what he said. And stewards of the mysteries of God. He said, we're just common men, just like you are, but yet we have a heavenly calling, and we're just the minister by which you've received the gospel. I preached the gospel. I planted the seed, Apollos water. He said, neither one of us anything. It's Christ that everything. Let a man look on us, account of us, as a minister of Christ and as a steward of the mysteries of God. More than required in steward that a man be found faithful. Now, thought about that when I read that. More was required in steward that a man be found faithful. And that's what we ought to be found ourselves as stewards of the mysteries or as ministers of the gospel of Christ. We that, you don't have to be a preacher to spread the good news of the Lord's gospel of Christ, just a born-again believer. Everybody has that responsibility. You are a steward in some sense of the word. You're a steward. Now you need to be a faithful steward because God one day is going to bring you into judgment. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account for every deed done in the body, good or bad. Therefore, knowing the chair of the Lord, he said, we persuade men. You better be persuaded, not picking at your payday. He said, God requires stewards to be found faithful. That's what we ought to be, faithful in all that we do. Whatsoever the Lord has committed to our trust, we ought to be found faithful. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you. Of man's judgment, I judge not my own self. He said, it's a small thing that you're judging me. He said, I don't even judge my own self. He said, we'll leave all that type judgment. He said, the flesh is nothing, I'm nothing. See, because what he's trying to say, don't set me up on a pedestal. I'm just a minister of Christ. I'm just a steward over what God's committed to my trust. And it's a very small thing that I should be lifted up or judged of you, of man's judgment. I judge my own self. Now notice verse 4. If I know nothing by myself. He said, I don't know anything. If I know anything, it ain't me. It's Christ in me. I don't know anything by myself. If I know anything, it's got to be Lord. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. He said, what I know is good come from God. And I don't want nobody glorying in men. I want everybody glorying in Christ. Him that glory, let him glory in the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time come, before the time and the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsel of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. So if you leave all that alone, they leave everything alone. Don't glory in men. Let's glory in Christ, in Jesus, and leave everything else alone. God will bring everything into judgment. Hidden things are going to be made manifest. And anybody's work is going to, of course, when they're tried, if they stand in the fire, they're going to have reward and they'll have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos. This is a continuation of what he's saying there. He said, I've transferred these things in a figure to myself and Apollos for your sake. I give this as an example that you may learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. He said, all what is written about man. Man's fleshly, he's wretched, he's rotten, he's depraved. The top of his head to the bottom of his foot, and nothing good about him. Paul said, there dwelleth no good thing in me, that is in my flesh. I wrote these things that you may learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up one for one against another. He said, all of us are just, we're just flesh. We're wretched and we're vile. Who make it be to differ from another? What hast thou that didst not receive? And who made you different? What do you have that you didn't receive? And if you received it, why dost thou glory if thou had not received it? Say, if God gave it, ain't enough for you to glory about. Our glory got to be in the Lord. We need to see ourselves and really examine ourselves so that we won't be chastened by the Lord. When he talked about them, it's a small matter that you would judge us and be puffed up about us. And he said that the Lord's my judge. I don't even, he said, judge my own self. All those things, if I do good, he said, God be Lord, because I don't know how to do good that is within myself. Now you are full. Now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. Now you are full. Now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. He's talking about a spiritual sense. They've been blessed and prospered by the Lord, and God's brought them in there. Though he were rich, he became poor, that through his poverty may be made rich. Of course, they had been made rich in Christ. You have reigned as kings without us, he said. Now, I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign. He's getting down to some positive thinking. Now, I would to God you were reigning. If you were really reigning in Christ and we were here on the reign on this earth, then we'd be reigning with you. That's what I get out of it. Thank that God has set forth us, the apostles, last. as it were appointed a day, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, to angels and to men. He said, the Lord has, God has made us a spectacle, an onslaught, people looking at us, and we're made as an offscouring, as nothing out in the world. We apostles set last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, of the angels and the men. For we are food for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. He said, you're the beneficiary. We're the ones that suffered over it, but he said, that's our calling. The apostles have been made, of course, last, and set us out there for an example. For we are food for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, you're strong, you're honorable, we are despised. Even of this present hour, we both hunger, thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, as the offscouring of all things of this day. He said that you on one hand has been made blessed and reigning and prospering. We on the other hand have been made by the opposite. I write not these things to shame you. He said, but of my beloved sons, I warn you. He said, I'm not writing this to shame you. I'm just writing this to warn you. You better be careful about the salvation that the Lord Jesus gave you, and you better work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. He said, though you've got 10,000 instructors who are trying to instruct you or are instructing you, that just means you've got a lot of teachers, a lot of fathers who are trying to help you. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. He said it was in Christ, what he gave me, what I preached to you. I have begotten you through the gospel. He's the one that's supposed to plant the seed. The Apollos come along in water, but he was the one that preached to them, and he had begotten them through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be you followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you in remembrance of my ways that would be in Christ, and as I teach everywhere in every church. So my gospel is the same before I go. There's no variance, no difference. I preach the same gospel, that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, death, burial, and resurrection. I preach the same thing everywhere I go. But I'm sending Timothy unto you shortly, who will bring you in remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not to speak to them which are puffed up, but the power. He said, I'm not interested in their fancy speeches, their eloquent words, that they puffed up, vain talk, and of course the wisdom of man's wisdom teaching. He said, that don't impress me at all. He said, when I come to you, I'm not interested in their puffed up speeches. He said, but I'm going to know the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love and the spirit of meekness? He said, when I come, I'm coming not in word, but in power. He said, you want me to come with a rod, and you'd rather I come with a rod, or you'd rather I come in love. He said, which one would you have that I come? Should I come with a correcting rod, a chastising rod, and have to be harsh with you, and put you in order? Or would you rather I come in love and the spirit of meekness? He said, I'm coming, but what do you want me to come as when I come? So he said, it'd be better if I come in love. And always wasn't the spirit coming at him, but sometimes he had to use certain speech to put him in line. He had rebuked them. It was called reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and sound doctrine. He had to come and preach to them, things that he really didn't want to have to do, nor to say, but he had to because of their rebellion, their self-will ways, and their carnal ways, and walking as men, not walking after the fundamentals of the faith and after the word of God. And a reported comment, there is fornication among you. Such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. He said that there's fornication. I've heard about it. And what's so bad about it is, he said, it's not even named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily or surely as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that so done this deed. And he knew about these people there. He knew them very well. He had great spiritual insight, and he knew what was going on, even though he wasn't there. He'd already seen. God gave him understanding, spiritual discernment. He knew who this particular person was. He said, even though I ain't there, I know who it is concerning him that's done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, deliver such a one to save the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now here was a man have been saved. And saved people can do things abominable, sinful, and shameful, and ungodly, and they do. But that's no excuse. And they're all going to be held accountable. What they do is crucify the Son of God afresh and put him open shame and shorten their own lives. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you cannot and will not continue to live in a rebellious state and out in the flesh and in sin. The Bible plainly tells us that we're the branches, he's the vine. And if you don't abide in him and don't bear any fruit, the Father's going to take it away. You cannot and will not live long, but all along the way, God will, of course, deal with you, speak to you, and rebuke you, and try to get your attention. It's not his will that you perish. The Apostle Peter said the Lord is long suffering to usward, talking about himself, the church, to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come unto repentance. And Paul said, I want you to take this one, and you deliver him unto Satan. You give his body, let the devil take a hold of his body. And that's something you don't want, for the devil to take a hold of your body. Now, he'll destroy the body, but he can't destroy the soul. That's why he said, fear not him who destroys the body, but fear him who has power over body and soul, that be the Lord. So Satan can and does destroy a lot of people's bodies, saved and unsaved. He's a destroyer, a liar, and the father of it, and he's walking to and fro seeking whom he may devour. God have mercy on us and help us to get up, Lord, our mind be sober, be clear, thinking, be vigilant, if any desire to serve the devil's like a roaring lion, walking to and fro seeking whom he may devour. Your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Your glory is not good. He said, your type of glory is not good. He said, you're puffed up. You got pride. You got that lump of pride. A little leaven, he said, it don't take a whole lot. Just a little leaven. You can put that little leaven in the bread. That's what makes it rise. Of course, they call it self-rising, you know, flour. Well, that's what makes it rise. It rises up. And he said, don't take much for there, but to rise up. He said, just a little leaven buffs up the whole lump. It raises up the whole lump. Swells it up. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven. He said, get rid of the old way. The old man, crucify, mortify, put to death the deeds of the body as a born-again believer, as a new lump in Christ. You need desire to sincere remember the word that you might grow thereby. Know you not? The little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For Christ, even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. We are unleavened. We be to the unleavened bread of Christ, the sincerity of Christ. We are partakers of him, and we're a new lump in him. And we need to purge out this old stinking flesh, all the things that puffs us up and blows us up and cast it aside and get rid of it. We might be the kind of person the Lord would have us to be. We might bring glory and honor to his name instead of disgrace, shame, and reproach to his name. We need to, on the other hand, be a good steward, a good minister, the gospel of Christ. Well, even Christ's high Passover is sacrificed for us. He is our Passover. He was sacrificed for us at Calvary, and he settled the sin debt once and forever. And he himself and inside the holiest of holies by the new and living way which he, that's Jesus, has consecrated for us through the veil. And he went back up into heaven, and now he's on the real mercy seat in heaven itself, sitting on the right hand of the Father and the seat of the saints, according to the will of God. What a great high priest prayer. What a great potentate. What a great advocate, what a great savior, what a great apostle and high priest of our profession, what a lovely savior, what a wonderful savior he is. He saved the uttermost, and he saved the rotten sinner, set myself in the gutter, brought me out and saved me, transformed me, changed me, put me in newness of life. What a life it is, what a wonderful life it is to be a Christian. Therefore, let us keep the feast, that is the feast of unleavened bread. That went along with, of course, with the Passover service. That's what that pertained to. The Passover lamb was sacrificed, and then the first day of the month, 10th day, put up the 14th day sacrifice, and 7 days after, you had the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And they had to kept that feast, and that's what they commemorated, the time of the coming up out of bondage out of Egypt. And they were there that night, packed out and ready to go, and they had the unleavened bread. Of course, the sacrifice was made, the little lamb. The blood was applied to the posts, the lintel posts of the doors. And the angel of death, the angel spread all the firstborn that had the blood covering. They were delivered. The first Passover was instituted that night. So they still have in recognition of it, and we do too, so far as Christ being our Passover, he was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, that is the old ways, the old man, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. What we need to practice on doing and being is being sincere and being truthful. Father is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if you want to be effective in service for the Lord and a good minister and a good steward, I suggest you try to get more sincere. You try to be more truthful, and you just weed out and work out the old leaven, cast it aside, get out of it, get rid of it, and so that you might be that brand new lump, a lump of glorification, dedication, and separation, consecration to the service of God. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to come to with fornicators. Now, he said, I wrote it unto you an epistle not to come to with fornicators. Well, maybe in another time. I don't know when it was. It might have been, but evidently, he wrote unto them to not to come with fornicators. That is, those who fornicated this world. Now, notice what he said. He said, neither yet not altogether with fornicators this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, but then must you need go out of what he's saying. I don't want you to company with them, but he said, you've got to have some company. If you didn't have some company, you'd have to leave the world. They're everywhere. That's what he said. I don't want you to have, be a partaker of the evil deeds. You'll have to company around and be around them, he said. But if you're just not all together, because it's all together, you'd have to get out of the world. You'd have to be gone. You're in it, but not of it. He said, but I don't want you to company with them. Stay away from their evil deeds. But now I've written unto you not to keep company. A man is called, and notice that he's called a brother. He's not a brother. He just claimed himself to be a brother. He's called a brother. If any man is called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or adulterer, or raider, or drunkard, or extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. What have I to do to judge them also that are without? He says, talking about, see, they're without. They're without Christ. They're not saved. Do not ye judge them that are within. That is, we ought to try to keep those things between the church of God, not take it out before unbelievers, before the world. And the minister about to take the things that are necessary. He said, here's something that's awful that ought not to be, but it is. He said, you take those that are least esteem among you to them, for them to judge, because some of those that seem to be highly esteemed ain't got no sense to do any judgment. He said, we're going to do that speaking to your shame. But them that are without God judging, that is the unsaved. He said, let them alone. Don't company with them. Even though they profess to be, you know they're not. Leave them alone, because God will take care of them. Therefore, put away from among you yourselves that wicked person. Unregenerate. Talking about those that call themselves to be a brother, but they're not a brother. He said, don't have anything to do with them. He said, there's not enough to do just to judge of them that within, let alone them that are out. God will judge them. Leave that to God. Therefore, put away from you, among yourselves, that wicked person. Dare any of you have a matter against another, and to go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. He said, how is it that some of you got a matter against one another, and you're going before the law of the land? And that's not ought not to be. He said, you ought to go before the saints. Don't you know the saints are going to rule the world? Do you not know that the saints, and I know that was next, that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? He said, and the saints are going to judge the world. If they're judging the world, how come you can't take care of some small, minute matters like this? Know you not that we shall judge angels? You see, angels are ministering spirits, and they're going to be in subjection unto us in the world to come. That's what the scripture said. And we'll have dominion over them. He's going to give us dominion over them, and we'll be enjoying, of course, they're ministering spirits. They minister unto the heirs of those that are salvation. You find out some of those things in the book of Hebrews and other places if you want to study and look upon that as well. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge or at least esteemed in the church. He said, I speak this to your shame. It is so. There is not a wise man among you, no, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. He said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You can't even make a righteous judgment. You're in such a carnal way, such a bad way. He said, get those at least esteem in the church and let them do the judging, because I'm speaking this to your shame. It's so there's not a wise man among you, no, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth the law with brother, and that before unbelievers, the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? He said, why don't you turn the other cheek? Why don't you go the extra mile? Why don't you give them your coat if asked for your clothes? And sometimes some has approached me and said things, and I just pass it off. I didn't harbor it in my heart, and I just didn't think it was a proper place to think and talk about those kind of things. And I said, that's don't talk that mess. That ain't worth especially hearing for everybody around. That's a bunch of foolish and stupidity. Get out of here and talk. Go somewhere else. I don't hear all that mess. And you ought not to get there and debate and argue. But that's acts of carnal, stupid, ignorant, self-willed ways. You ought to think about Christ and Him crucified, and about souls and people that are watching and listening, and the weaker brethren. It ought not to be. We ought to always be able to turn the other cheek, go the extra mile and give them our coat also. If they ask them for our cloak, give it all to them. And that's how we'll glorify God. He said, why don't you rather take wrong? Why don't you rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Yea, some folks have this little illustration. Certain thing happened to another one of my tools, and the man says he wasn't going to give it back to me. And some got offended, and I could have then went down there and got this expensive tool. I said, well, all right, if he wants it that bad, just let him keep it. I don't need it. So I just let the man keep the tool. If I need another, I'll buy me another. It wasn't worth all that because of certain people involved. The feeling might have been hurt. And I said, who cares? You know, it ain't a thing but a dollar anyhow. Let the man keep it if he feels that way. All that was mine. And he could just have the two. Let him keep the two then, if that's the way he feels about it. And I'd rather it's not stir up any stink. Like I said, it's like old cow dung out in the field. And I remember when we was up in Roswell, and we went up there at some people, Abernathy's, of course, Don Kendall, Mulkey and them, and we played football in that cow pasture out there, and you could step on that old cow mess, cow dung. But if you flip that over, it looked hard on the outside, you flip it over, or you stirred it a little bit, it still had a stink in it. And I say, if you keep stirring stink, you know, it's just going to keep putting out an ill odor or dung. You just need to let all those things just lay there and perish and pass away and let them come to naught. But anyhow, we don't want to be one who's always grumbling and groaning and complaining. We ought to turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, and give them the rest of our apparel if that's what they desire. Leave it alone as a Christian. Now, you do wrong and defraud in that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't you know they're not going to go to heaven? Be not deceived, neither fornicator, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. This is those that are in sin, that have these characteristics and traits. They will not, they're unbelievers. And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Said, you used to be like it, but not any longer. You've been sanctified and justified. You've been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Said everything is, of course, lawful to me. I'm at liberty to do as I will. Not sinful things, but he's talking about partaking of certain things. But he said, all things are not necessary. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought into the power of any of you. He said, I'm not going to be brought into subjection to any of these things that would hinder me from running a good race and fighting a good fight. Meat for the belly and the belly for meat. But God shall destroy both it and them. He said, the meat's for belly and the belly for meat, but God's going to destroy both of them. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, but also raised up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What know ye not that don't defile the body of the Lord? What know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? The two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Free fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sin against his own body. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you and which have of God and you're not your own? For you have bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, your spirits, which are God. He's telling them that they need to consecrate, separate, dedicate themselves and not give place to fornication. Because when you do that, you're sinning not only against God, but against your own body. Our body is a dwelling place, the temple of God. You better be careful about how you do and what you do in abusing the body. If any man, of course, abuses his body, then God's going to destroy it. So you got to be careful about those kind of things pertaining to your body. Your body is, of course, given as the temple of the Holy Ghost for him to dwell in you. And you better make good use of your body, of your time. You said to glorify God in your body, in your spirits, which are God's. You better do the best you can to give him your body as a living sacrifice unto God, which the only reason, sir, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we've got an obligation, responsibility as a minister, as a steward over the things that God has committed to our trust. We better be found faithful in getting out there and using them well, because one day we'll face him. He'll bring us into judgment. The hidden things will be brought to light. Things of darkness are going to be brought to light. And it'll be tried of what type of works we've had. Wood, hay, or stubble, or the precious thing, you'll stand the fire, go up in smoke if it's fleshly, and won't stand judgment. And there'll be a great suffering of loss during that period of time when we face him, that is believers, at the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to quit there, the Lord willing. I want you to study on, if you will, in chapter number 7, as Paul deals. And a lot of folks, and they can't really say that, except for out of the state of ignorance, that Paul was not a virgin, and that he had a problem. His problem was with women. And what a bunch of fools and idiots. Those are a bunch of infidels and fools and idiots. A bunch of unbelieving scumbags. And then these people that put out that Jesus had an affair with Mary Magdalene. Those are blaspheming. They're going to bust hell wide open. They're blasphemous dogs. They're fools and idiots. And they pump that type of demonic doctrine just to cause chaos and confusion. They're the ones that's in chaos and confusion. They're going to wind up burning in a special place at the grease of torment and hell itself. That'd be their just, right, righteous, just reward that they have coming to them, and they'll burn forever. And they need to do so in speaking such things, such blasphemous things against the only name of heaven given among men, whereby all the world must be saved. But reading there, if you will, very good reading, and it talks about a couple of subject matters in there. We'll talk about that, God being our helper. He gives instruction for a man and his wife and things of that nature. We'll talk about that in there next week, the Lord willing. And then chapter number 8, the things touching offered unto idols. He talks about, we know the idols, we know that we all have knowledge, not only puffed up, but charity edified. But if any man think he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing as he ought to know. But if a man love God, the same to know him. And then he talks about idols in there, and we'll speak about that, the Lord being our helper. And God give us more understanding, pray that he will, so I can be able to rightly divide the word of truth, and you have a better understanding yourself as the Lord speaks through us. So read over in there if you would, and we'll talk about those things, the Lord willing, maybe two or three chapters, I'm not sure what the Lord have us do, but I'll know when it comes, time comes, and we'll speak what he gives. Anybody got a question, comment, anything in your heart you'd like to say, share? If you do, feel free. Anything special.